Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Scouser Tommies on Anfield Index and Anfield Index Pro. And if you're listening on Anfield Index Pro, just sit back and enjoy the rest of the show. If you're listening away from Anfield Index Pro, then maybe you don't like ads, maybe you don't like the podcast being cut short. We're sorry about that. It's something that we feel a need to do. But what we'd much rather have is if you can find the equivalent of maybe a cup of coffee or so. I mean, probably less these days, looking at the price of coffee I've seen in some shops lately. You can subscribe to Anfield Index Pro. And not only do you get all our podcasts uninterrupted by ads, full-length versions, all the rest of it, a lot of podcasts, you get access to Discord where there's a chance to talk with other fans, other LFC fans about stuff going on with the Reds and not with the Reds. And what I think is one of the most welcoming places in on the internet, if you like, because you've not got fans of other clubs trolling you and all the rest of it. And everyone gets on really well in there, I find. And there's loads of people offering advice if you want it and in all kinds of ways. So it's a great community, as you may expect from Anfield Index, though, because all those other podcasts are as you know, are hosted and attended by some great people. And one of those is Jay, who I'm with today, of course, Jay Reid. Jay, last time we did a podcast, we were all excited. We had four trophies on the horizon. One of these unprecedented quadruples or whatever they say. I don't think any of us at all at any point this season have really, really said to ourselves, oh, we're going to win four trophies. It's more a case of if we're in four trophies, let's just keep going for them and see where we end up. And if we think back to January, you and I were both in agreement that when Liverpool were going to face Arsenal in the FA Cup, that if Klopp did one thing that we thought was useful, it would be to put out all the kids, you know, not to worry too much about beating them, because if there was one trophy we were going to let go, it was that, because we were close to the League Cup final. We'd made decent progress already. Let's just go for the League Cup, keep on fighting in Europe and go for the league. And as it was, we beat Arsenal. And as it was, we've had to use the kids anyway. But it hurt, I would say, straight after the game. I mean, I didn't even see it. I was travelling at the time. But to lose against the Manx 4-3, to me, the hurt is more about losing against them, because you just hate losing against them. Between them and the Bitters, you just don't want to lose those games, regardless of what it means in the greater context. We lost, but it's only the FA Cup. And my disappointment kind of, I don't know, maybe by being away from things, I was away all week, and I didn't really pay much attention, not much attention to the media and stuff, so I didn't hear too much about it. I wasn't that bothered, all in all. I was just disappointed because I kept hearing the scorelines and thinking, how great would it be just to beat them? But really, it would have been, I don't know, maybe I'm rambling a little bit here, but in the greater scheme of things, I think if we're going to have to duck out of one trophy, my views aren't any different to what they were in January. That was the one to duck out of, and we've lost. We move on. I mean, they were celebrating it like it was the best achievement ever, like they just landed a man on Mars or something in the process of beating us. But I'm sure they loved it, especially after we beat them 7-0 not that long ago, and especially the way they celebrated the 0-0 they played for at Anfield. I'm genuinely, as always, disappointed to lose against them. They're a big rival, but in the grand scheme of things, as I said, let them win it, because it's just nothing compared to what we're on at the moment.
How the mighty have fallen. that was basically their cup final.
Yeah.
That the other weekend, and, you know, I think it shows the reaction from the media and, you know, the United faithful, online, offline, national press and all that business, of how big a result that was, you know, to beat us in the FA Cup quarter final at Old Trafford. You know, I don't think they'll win the cup because Man City is still in it, and anything that Man City are in, the favourites for. Yeah. And yes, you know, United got the favourable draw in getting Coventry in the semi-final, and it'd be probably funnily ironic if they actually struggled and went out to Coventry on pens or something like that, which, you know, would be a huge reality check. But, you know, we can dream. But even if they do, I don't think they'll get past City in the final. You know, or even Chelsea for that matter. You know, Chelsea have got to sort of break this final hoodoo if they actually get past City and get there in the FA Cup. So, you know, whoever United do face, if they get there, it's not going to be easy. And I think the most disappointing thing was we had that game well under control. You know, it was evident the first 15, 20 minutes how much it meant to them. And, you know, we were under the cosh, we were 1-0 down, whatever. But we found a way, as we've often done this season, to get back in games and go in, fortunately, with our noses in front of the break. And then we come out and we dominated for all 25 minutes. And it actually felt, you know, similar to that game when we beat them 5-0 in their own backyard and they were all getting off at half-time, where it was a training session in the second half and we were toying with them. And I remember actually, you know, saying to me, mate, we need to put a chance away here. We need to make this 3-1 and kill them.
Yeah.
Because they are going to get something. They are going to come in the last 10 minutes and, you know, they threw everything at it. We probably could have lost in the 90, which arguably would have just been a better way to go out and just accept the fact that, you know, they done us. But, you know, to go into extra time and then again go back in front and again control and then again, you know, get so complacent. Maybe, you know, the reality of we've had so much football and so much, you know, going on in our football scheme of, like, you know, trying to juggle so many competitions, trying to juggle so many injuries, that it was just probably one game too many mentally and physically. And never before have you wanted an international break in football. Yeah. Never before has a Liverpool fan said the words, I'm glad it's international football now, for a week or so, just to sort of press the reset button. And, you know, the night of the game, it hurt because of the manner of the defeat and who the defeat was to, as you say. There's losing to United and then there's losing to everyone else. And, you know, losing to everyone else, she's like, all right, well, you know, these things happen. But losing to United or Everton does hurt, you know, and you'd have been forgiven for thinking that Everton had got through to an FA Cup semi-final when you go into work the next day and all the Blues are very chipped at the fact that you've gone out to the Cup semi-final when they, you know, could only dream of getting that far in the Cup competition.
They won their Cup final, didn't they, when Man United beat us, basically?
Yeah, so, you know, it was a double win for those that don't like us. But, you know, quickly after that, you know, international football, as I said, like, we wanted the international break for a recess, but it's a very sobering time. You know, it allows you to, well, unless you're invested for international football for any reason, no matter who you are, where you're from, you know, like some people are hugely invested in the nation, but as Liverpool fans, and I'm from the city of Liverpool, it's not something that we really care about. So it's kind of just been an opportunity to sort of switch off from football, and all that's led us to do is, you know, just keep a check on the international fixtures of our players who are actually representing the nations, and, you know, see how they get on, make sure, you know, they're performing, make sure they're being, you know, kept injury free, which sadly in the case of Andy Robertson was not the case. You know, and for some players, it gave opportunities to, you know, get away from the stresses and rigmarole of day-to-day club football, and maybe just have a little opportunity to reset, you know, their game, their minds, you know, and allow them to maybe gain some confidence. I can think of one or two players in the team who probably needed that and have benefited from the international break. So, yeah, like we've had, what is it now, about 10 days or something like that since the result, 11 days as we record it. And we are now coming back for like the real meat and bones of the season, in terms of this is when the trophies are handed out. This is when, you know, those tight games could end up becoming so crucial, you know, and we won't delve into the men in the middle in the black shirts or whatever colourful shirt they end up donning. But, you know, hopefully now we've had a few too bad many decisions from those guys that maybe the old it evens itself out over the season, and they're just going to come into our favour, because, you know, heaven forbid, we've had a few too many shockers from referees that I think we're possibly maybe due one or two over the next, you know, dozen games or so that could potentially swing things in our favour. I'm not asking for it, but if it's there, I'll take it.
Well, if it's true that these things even themselves out over the course of the season, basically we've won everything left, because we just basically can't lose a game because the refs will just make sure of it. So, yeah, I won't hold my breath on that. The other thing that, I mean, I didn't see the game, as I said, I was away. The reason that I think I managed to avoid it, like you say, because I was driving. There's a WhatsApp group, just me and two of my daughters. One was in the car with me. One was at home watching the game. And it just kept flashing up on the car, with the map on it in the car. It just kept flashing up like notifications of this group. And so my other daughter would tell me what it was, and it was a goal. And I just kept thinking, I don't want to know. I wouldn't put the radio on. I thought, I'm not going to try and drive listening to the radio. I'd rather not know. And I was just getting these sort of updates via knowing that this WhatsApp notification had come up. And I kind of knew each time which way round it was going to be. I'm not psychic. I just think I've got used to it down the years. But the thing I was thinking about, even watching it, was that our problem this season, time and again, has been, and we've got away with it. We've got away with it far too many times in a way, in a good way, but we're not sort of getting the cushion that we need, that we could get. So we might be a goal ahead, loads of possession, you know, got them under the cosh, but we're not capitalising on it, you know, when it's, the game might end 2-1 or something, but, you know, for the last half an hour, we've got hearts in our mouths wondering if it's going to end that way, if they're going to pull one back. And time and again, we've seen other teams pull one back, but then we've managed to get one back against them. And that's what it sounded like here. And as you said, ran out of time, ran out of legs. Eventually, you know, it was going to tell. I mean, I can't even imagine we were in a good state to even take pens at that stage. And as I said, I've not watched it. The reason I was sort of kicking off about how big it was for them, again, I hadn't seen the game. I went in, we were away, and there's a pub we sometimes go to for breakfast, save paying better value for money than the hotel breakfast kind of thing. And went in there, and they had Sky Sports News, and I forgot they had that, otherwise I'd have gone somewhere else. I'd rather have a Mackey's and listen to that. But like almost the whole hour on Sky Sports News was based on celebrating this amazing victory for Manchester United. So it's the sort of coverage you would expect after a Champions League final or something. It was unreal, and I just thought, I mean, I don't watch Sky Sports News very often, and I just thought, you could imagine the people in there were just sort of, you know, the production team and the rest of it were just, you know, still celebrating this amazing thing. And they can't even excuse it being an international break and needing to fill time, because there were other games played that weekend, but they focused nearly enough that whole hour on our game. I managed to zone out of it in the end, I think, but I just thought, you're just taking it too far here. But I think you're right. I mean, I think without seeing it, so all of this is based on me not seeing it, it just sounded like a game where we gave everything we could, we kept fighting. We could have done with turning that sort of control and possession and all the rest of it into an extra goal just to give us that cushion. Because I think once you've got that extra cushion, it changes things. It changes the attitude of your opponent. It silences the crowd as well. You know, it takes away a little bit of hope for them. And at times this season, I've been disappointed in us in games for not doing that enough. And maybe it takes a game like that for you to kind of realise that as a team, that you've got to start making these moments of possession, moments of control count, and get those cushions in the games. Because when you've got that cushion, it makes such a difference. I know it's not quite the same, but when we played in the European game not long before that, we were well ahead from the first leg. But getting that first goal, getting that second goal, any dreams they had of sort of closing the gap on us just went out the window straight away. You know, when we get these games where we score goals close together, you just see other teams melt away. But, you know, injuries have just been such a problem for us this season. And I think you're right when you say that the international break gives us a reset, because not all of our players are playing international games. And I think there's quite a few of them that are going to be back at base now. They've had a bit of time off, bit of treatment. And I hope, you know, in most cases, they did listen to... doesn't sound like it, but I would hope that, you know, what Klopp said before the tournament was... think about themselves as well as us, these international managers. They've got friendlies, a lot of them. So Klopp's not got... He said he can't make their decisions for them. Most of them, we don't even speak the same language, he said. But they want them to be in the best possible shape for the summer. So I hope they don't have to play two games of 90 minutes. And as Klopp said, that would be helpful. But it's not in his hands. And it sounds like, you know, with some managers, it was just a case of, I'm picking my best players regardless of what they do for the club. And I hope that, you know, we do come away without too much lasting damage, and we've got enough cover for the players that are there. And I just hope the break's made a difference to us. I mean, in terms of the game itself, as I think we said everything we need to about that game, other than we've got them to look forward to soon, haven't we? And I'm sure we can come on to the future fixtures. But again, just another sort of way to underline the importance of that fixture compared to the rest of everything that's going on. They were delighted with the 0-0 in the league against us. I can't see us going there against them in the league. Even if a point is enough for us by that stage, which it mean it won't be, but even if a point was massive to us by that stage, there's just no way we're going to go there in the league and try and get a 0-0. And I can't help but think if there were replays in this, you know, the first FA Cup game was at Anfield, they'd have come to our place trying to get a draw then. And as you said, how the mighty have fallen. And that's what it comes down to me. And I hope that one thing we get out of this is to remember this. And when we go back to play them in, a couple of weeks' time, I think we've got them. We can have them over a barrel. I think we can do them easily. And I know, don't just mean we can just turn up and do them, but I think we've got it in us to not just get revenge for that FA Cup game, but just to remind them where they are now.
Yeah, I think, as I said before, it was hurtful for a few hours and maybe a day or so, you know, because of who it was, who you lose to. But actually, when you take a step back and you have a look at the broader scheme of things, it could end up well being a huge blessing, actually going out the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there'll be fans, you know, ripping their earphones out now and saying, what are you doing saying that for? We want to win everything we've got. And yes, I'm all for that.
You want to try and win everything you've got, but yeah, you can't throw the toys out the pram when you don't quite manage it.
No, but of course, no one loves a day out more to Wembley than every other Liverpool fan. I love myself. I've had the pleasure of being there this season, and you know, it's one of the best days out of the season. You know, however you do it, you know, a trip to Wembley is always good, especially even when you come back with the cup as well. It makes it so much sweeter. And you know, I would have loved another opportunity to get down there two more times this season. We said earlier on in the year that, you know, we don't think it's right that the semi-finals are played at Wembley. It takes away the nostalgia of the final. But we are where we are with the FA and Club Wembley, you know, wanting to pay their, you know, fees and whatever for the people who invest in that sort of thing and whatever. But we are, unfortunately, out of the competition. But when you look at, you know, you mentioned just there that the fixture list coming up, it's congested. We've got, it's a 10 league games to come left in the season between now and what is probably the middle of May. You know, hopefully 5 Europa League games in that, you know, obviously 2-legged ties in the quarterfinal, semi-final and a final to play. and then potentially had you got through another two on top of that. So you were looking, you know, 17 games in what is probably going to be 9 weeks of football. And, you know, we've tried this before. It's impossible. It's never been done to win all four trophies that you can enter as a club because it's so hard. And we come so close. We've come so, so close a couple of years ago. And, you know, we fell at the final hurdle because maybe we just didn't have enough left in the tank.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Wouldn't it be good if this season we can go, you know what, we couldn't do the four because it was so hard, but we've just got enough left in the tank to make sure we can get three. And, you know, we've already got one in the bag. That's safe, secure. That's in the cabinet, shiny, looking lovely. We've got two more to go for. We know, you know, the Europa League isn't, you know, the prestige European competition, but it's the one that's missing off Jürgen's CV as Liverpool manager. It's the one that has got a little bit of history with the club. You know, there's special occasions when managers have won the UEFA Cup, as it was back then. You know, and it meant a lot. And, you know, there's an opportunity there where we've only got to win, as I've said before, in Europa League games. We've only got to win potentially only two games, you know, because we could get through the two leg of the fairs by winning one game and drawing the other one. And even the final, you know, wouldn't want it right now, but if someone offered you the final, you know, you go to penalties and you win it on penalties because you've drew in the 90 minutes or the 120 minutes, then, you know, so be it. And then obviously there's the bread and butter of the league, but just looking at what's to come in the league, and, you know, the old fixtures have been released for the TV and whatever, and, you know, we're getting to the farce that is. You know, they've slotted in a Merseyside derby, which, you know, had to take place because we played United at a midweek opportunity. But they've kindly slotted in, you know, between two away games, one of them being on the Sunday when we travel to Fulham, which actually would have been, or is actually, the FA Cup semi-final weekend. So, you know, we could have had a trip to Wembley, potentially. We didn't get there, but then a trip to Goodison Park on a Wednesday, and then obviously Jürgen's old favourite, the 12:30 kickoff on the Saturday at West Ham. And then we would have had to fit in Fulham somewhere else along the lines in the last 3 weeks of the season.
And just before that Fulham game, we're away to Atalanta as well, aren't we? So on the Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday. So it would have been Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. So what's that? Nine days, four away trips. You know, it's not nice. And we've got to do it. We've got to go down to London to play West Ham. But looking along the lines further, you know, we would have had to slot in that Fulham game somewhere else. And as it is, you know, Man City were scheduled to play Tottenham that weekend, and now they've got to fit that in somewhere further along the lines. And you never know. Like, it might all catch up with them. Who knows? But we can only look after our own business. But it does now become, for me, you'd always think of, you take one game at a time, but I think now I'm probably looking at things as taking 1 week at a time, because we're literally going to be playing, you know, weekend, midweek, now probably till the end of the season. And it's a case of Klopp doing what Klopp does at the end of seasons and managing a squad, you know, rotating as and when. No one else get the best out of his players. And if you look through Klopp's track record over the past few years, I think he's averaging 24 points over the last four seasons in his last 10 games, you know, higher than any other manager, higher than Pep, well higher than Arteta. I think he's on road 16 or something like that, you know. So we're just awaiting the Arsenal fall away, which probably will inevitably happen. And we've just got to keep our noses in front of City, because as it stands, we're 1 point ahead. Fingers crossed we can extend that over the next few weeks. This weekend would be a good starting place for that, given they play Arsenal. But I think we've just now got to manage week to week. And yes, you know, Klopp and everyone else will say, no, it's game by game. But I think we've got to be a bit more savvy in terms of what we've got coming up. But Klopp's been there, done that, won trophies. There's two left to win for him this season. And I think it's only fitting that we do everything we possibly can to make sure he goes out with them in his back pocket.
I think what jumps into my head about this as well is, and there's only one way to get into the competition now, which is the first sort of bit of silverware for next season, Charity Shield, Community Shield, whatever you want to call it. When Bill Shankly left Liverpool, he actually did the Charity Shield as manager before Bob Paisley sort of started properly. It was almost like a kind of, you know, seeing, you know, he sort of goodbye.
Handover.
Yeah. He did that game, then Bob Paisley took over. So I can't see it happening if we did get in the Charity Shield, but it would be pretty nice if Klopp could come back and just do that. Can't see it happening. Modern game wouldn't stand for it. Now, international break. I mean, one thing, I have avoided it as much as I can. And if there's another thing that annoys me about football as well as international breaks, it's merchandise. And I'll say this, though. I was actually in the North East last week, and I've never sort of seen the Liverpool club shop in town, well, any of them empty. Like whenever you go past or anything, there's usually a crowd of people in there. You know, you can see if you pop your head around the door, there's plenty of people in there. Maybe it's just one of those things. I've never noticed them empty, but there's a Newcastle club shop. Well, it's actually a Castor shop, but it's all Newcastle stuff in there. In the Metro Centre, actually, in Newcastle. And that was empty when I went in, but maybe one of the reasons that these shops are getting empty is just the cost of kits nowadays. And there's a big kickoff last week about the amount of money Nike are charging for England kits. And I can imagine it's a lot, because they're charging a lot for Liverpool kits. And I think that's something that, you know, we could talk all day about. Something that he's looking at is the cost of merchandise. It's off the scale. But the thing that really caught my eye was the absolute outrage over a badge on the back of the England top, which... And it reminded me, I mean, there's lots of reasons why we're not fans of England. Let's you know, to put it lightly, a lot of reasons why we're like that. And the outrage that followed Nike having a slightly, you know, having the same shape, having a cross on the back that wasn't red on a white background. The outrage that followed that was just off the scale, to the point where the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition are kicking off on it. I mean, I first saw it mentioned, I think there was a tweet about it, and there was loads of outrage on the replies, and I thought, that's bad, that's embarrassing. Next thing, it was kind of almost like the main story on the news. I mean, there's so much shit going on in the world, but this was the main story, and I don't know, it just feels like, it's just England, isn't it? It's just England, it's just like, how dare you change our St. George's Cross? It's not even a real country, it's not really a real country, is it? You know, it's not like an international flag, like it's the Union Jack, supposedly. So it's just, I don't know, I just thought it was brilliant. And I mean, there was never this
what it actually reminded me of was, you know, how much it angered so many people, and it was a certain type of people that it angers, and it's the same type of people who get angry by when Liverpool do something.
Yeah,
is what it actually reminded me. You know, if you just took a demographic of the people who were so outraged by, you know, the cross being changed, it's the same type of people who are outraged that Liverpool fans boo the national anthem. And they don't know why. Why just do it? Why do you boo the national anthem? Well, there's a reason why, you know, like, and it's historical, and, you know, it's not just because, oh yeah, we don't agree with who is the king or the queen at that said time. It's a lot more deep-rooted in understanding that, but they're not quite understanding people. They're not educated enough to see, you know, the reality of why it is. And, know, it, all of a sudden it was because Joe Bloggs said, oh, look, they've changed the England flag. You shouldn't be happy about that. And all of a sudden, you know, the pitchforks went up. And it was just the same. I'm not bothered. Like, as we've always said, we're not bothered about England and whatever. They can do whatever they like. Nike aren't going to change it. If anything, Nike are probably like, well, actually, it's just a huge PR scheme in the respect that, yes, some people won't buy the shirt, but then other people will as a protest. So was it maybe just a huge marketing scheme from Nike? Who knows? But either way, it put the shirt, you know, in the main spotlight, rightly or wrongly. And, you know, Nike probably benefited from it one way or another. It was just laughable that that became, as you said, you know, mainstream news when there's so much going on in the world. People were so upset about a flag on the back of a shirt. And, you know, I think we've said before that the flag of St. George, England, whatever you want to call it, you know, you don't really see that on Anfield. And there's a reason why, because we have our own flags and, you know, we have our own sort of history and nature within flags. And it's not to do with a symbol of a nation. It's more to do with, you know, honouring people, legends, you know, people who were involved in the club, whether it's on the field or off the field. And that's how we do flags. And I think we just do it better.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, if you are listening to us and you're on the free version, please subscribe if you've got a bit of spare cash. Only because we've got loads more to talk about on this show, which you probably won't hear because it'll get cut off soon. Not just about flags. We're going to get on to, well, there's so much more stuff to talk about, including our neighbours, which they're never far away from your mind when you're talking about England, because, you know, E for England, E for Everton, lots of pettiness and stuff like that. I think the other thing about the St. George's flag is, for one thing, all those clubs who come along to Anfield with their St. George's flag and, you know, it's got sort of, I don't know, some backwater place somewhere down in the south of England, with, you know, the name of the little supporters group that they've used. They write that all over the flag. Then they'll stick it, you know, they'll use face paint and stick it on the face. They'll wear a Union Jack or St. George's flag under boxer shorts and all the rest of it. I mean, they hardly show that much respect to that flag themselves and to complain about this. But the other part to it that kind of got to me as well was how easy it was for it all to be blamed on Nike. And I'm sure that if Nike came to Liverpool next summer or whenever it's going to be, obviously these things are planned way ahead, and I've seen a picture of a possible Liverpool kit, which I'm not pleased about if it's a real one, but we'll wait and see. But if, you know, if Nike come to Liverpool and say, here's your new home kit, this wonderful blue number we've done for you, it's a bit, you know, sort of navy and royal blue stripes or something, like, if Liverpool go out in that kit as a home kit, that's not because of Nike, that's because of Liverpool not saying, do one and get us a proper kit, you idiots. And it's the same with England. They've got all this sort of, they've got loads of veto on what comes out, they've got loads of choices, loads of say. Nike aren't going to spend all that money sticking a blue flag on the a discoloured flag on the collar of a shirt without going to England first and saying, what do you reckon to this? England have got the ability to say something. It put me in mind of when it was the women's competition and the England goalie shirt wasn't available. Everyone's blaming Nike. I'm pretty sure that England would have been asked, how many of these shirts do you want us to make? You know, how many of these shirts do you think you'll sell? And England have said, don't bother, we'll probably not sell many. And it made them look idiots. But it's much easier to blame Nike, just like this. You know, I'm not saying Nike are sort of blame-free in these things because they're coming up with the ideas. But, you know, the so-called traditional football people should be then stepping in who work at places like the FA.
Hey, guys. It's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full, and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. you'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.